Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I'm recording this on a beautiful Monday morning. I decided to do it outside today, so you're going to hear some ambient noises, but it's such a nice day. Get out of the studio a little bit, right? Enjoy a nice summer day. And so in doing this, watching my little puppy eat some sticks, and thinking about the draft. Yeah, thinking about what's going on. Because we are now 72 hours or so away, and there's a lot on the table. It's unusual, in my recollection, and I got to go back, you got to go back a long way for the Grizzlies to have a pick that's this consequential anyway. But not only this consequential, but with so much up in the air. I don't remember a time when we've seen something like this, I guess the closest thing would be the 09 draft when there was some discussion about who should actually be the pick, whether it should be Thabeet or Curry or, you guys know the story. But even then, there really wasn't the idea of a trade. The possibility of a trade wasn't really in the works at that point. Now you got to throw in all sorts of trade possibilities in addition to some real question about who's actually going to be on the board. I don't remember a situation quite this fluid at the top of the draft where you have significant doubt about everyone apart from one. Everyone seems to pretty much have coalesced on Phoenix taking DeAndre Ayton, and that's that on that. But Sacramento, major questions about who they're going to take. Atlanta, major questions about who they're going to take, whether they're even going to exercise the pick or trade. The same thing with the Grizzlies, no idea who they're going to take. It is wide open. So today on the show, we're going to sort through where we stand on all of that at the moment. And we'll kind of be updating this throughout the week, obviously, as we get closer and closer to draft night. But as we stand right now, kind of take a look at the state of play here on Monday, 72 hours away from the draft, and prioritize, in my mind at least, and I'd love to hear from you as a response. You can email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, @PeterEdmiston. I'd love to hear your response to this and your thought about, what exactly the Grizzlies should do. So as I see it, the only options at this point now, you can eliminate trade up. That is not going to happen. So the other options are still very much on the table. The Grizzlies just simply exercising the pick at 4, being done with it. I think that's probably still the most likely option, but I would say it's maybe a little over 50%, but by no means is it a guarantee. There's plenty of possibility for the other options. The second most likely option, in my mind, is to trade down for multiple picks and potentially for a player, depending on the structure of the deal. There are a couple of different ways you can go with this. You could go with a short move down with a team like Orlando or Chicago, and the package would be a little simpler. Or you could do something with the Clippers that would involve like Tobias Harris and the 12 and 13. Philly, depending on where they stand right now, and I mean they could be complicated by the Kawhi Leonard situation that's cropped up. Or, pursuit of LeBron James or whatever, but theoretically at least they could offer some combination of players and picks that would be interesting. And then the last thing that is still, I think, reasonably possible, although I think it's probably the least likely of the group, is to go ahead and just trade altogether out of the top for a high-level, youngish player a la Andrew Wiggins, Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum, DeMar DeRozan, et cetera, and so on and so forth. I mean, I think that's probably the least likely of the group, but I think it's likely enough that it's at least worth discussing and thinking about where that would kind of go and what that would look like. Because that's been the rumor that started to swirl over the last, probably since Friday. We've seen a lot more of that. I don't think it's really changed. Like the rumors have gotten out, but I think that those discussions have been going on for a while. To be honest, all these discussions really have been going on for a while. There's nothing really that's especially new. It's just that when these things come out, there are certain strategic ways agents, some executives will release information That's true of the prospects. You see, you know, Mo Bamba had a big push. Now Luka Doncic has kind of got a late push up the draft with his agent Bill Duffy. You're seeing, you know, there's always strategy to all of this. Think about when you see stuff, what you see, how it's all played out. You know, it's not a coincidence that you see an interview with Shams Charania on Yahoo Sports, a SportsCenter profile with Jonathan Givony and all that, and everything else associated with Luka Doncic on the eve of the draft. You know, it wasn't a coincidence that you saw that stuff with Mo Bamba. So all these rumors and all this discussion about players, it's all timed generally to elicit a reaction, potentially to put somebody front of mind, put pressure on an organization, maybe from the public. That can be true of trades as well. Sometimes organizations, like we've talked about, will put stuff out there publicly to get a feel for what people want, how they will react to that. Then they can judge whether or not that's something that they want to go through with. That does happen with these organizations. So that's kind of where things are as far as a list. Now, go into each of those options. Before we talk about the draft board, I'll do that last because we'll do more specific prospect stuff tomorrow and Wednesday going into it. But in terms of the actual trade situation within, you know, trading down, I would say at this stage, the most likely partner to me is Chicago because of the involvement of Michael Porter. That's the wild card of this whole thing. There's been longstanding interest with the Bulls and Michael Porter for a long time. You know, I know a lot of teams are intrigued by that, but if the Bulls are going to jump up, certainly four would be the spot that would make a lot of sense in order to do that. Now, the deal they could offer, strictly 7 and 22, maybe there may be a little bit more to it than that. They could absorb a little bit of money. Not sure that they would want to, but they certainly could in a deal like that. That's, to me, probably the most likely, although I do think that Clippers deal with 12, 13 and a guy like Tobias Harris is very possible as well. Those things, you know, those deals will be set in the next day or two. The parameters of those deals will be set. If this happens, then this is what we're going to do. If this player is available, this is what's going to happen. All that stuff. So teams will trade up based on a player being available. The Grizzlies will be willing to trade down based on players not being available. All that stuff has to be hammered out so that when you go into draft night, ideally you've got your set of potentialities out there. You have them very clearly defined. If this, then that. That makes draft night a lot less stressful. But, you know, there's always times, there's always teams, there's always situations where you kind of improvise. And I think we've seen that from a lot of teams on draft night where you just, you go off the script a little bit and it causes you trouble. The Grizzlies, I mean, you can, you know, they didn't properly script out what was going to happen in 2009. I worry a little bit about that this year, to be honest. We'll talk about that after the break. So I mentioned that I worried a little bit about the Grizzlies situation this year in these trades, because I do think there's definitely some possibility of these trades happening, and even, you know, trading out altogether, there is that possibility. But my worry about the Grizzlies is who's actually going to make that decision and how are they going to prioritize it? Are we sure that there's going to be no ownership involvement through Joe Abadi? I think absolutely not. I think Joe Abadi's going to be heavily involved in whatever the decision happens to be. I think there'll be involvement on the business side from Jason Wexler. I think there'll be involvement from a lot of people. And I worry that it's going to be a little complicated by the hands that are in the process. I worry that the job that's done by the scout staff, by the people that have actually put this stuff together, this draft together for, you know, years now, done all the prep work, done all the on-site work, have gone to see guys, you know, that can be undone very quickly on draft night if you have somebody in there trying to make a decision, trying to overrule. It's happened plenty of times before with other organizations. It's happened with this organization and the Thabit Bick. That's my worry, is that that job that's done, because I think that the scouting guys have a pretty good idea of what they want. I think Luka Doncic certainly would be welcomed, and most people associated with the Grizzlies, I think, would be very happy to get Luka if he's there. I still, even at this late point, have my doubts as to whether he's actually going to be there or not. But I think if he's there, that's certainly the guy. When he's not there, that's when things start to get a little bit interesting. And when you get some involvement, potentially going out to get a guy, that's when the Porter reach happens and the reach for that superstar becomes, you know, problematic. To speak about the Porter thing for a second, too, kind of get as a little bit of a side note, I'm sort of all over the place on today's edition of the pod, but there's a lot of little things that are going on. So I kind of want to hit them all over the place as they come up. And to hit on the Porter thing for a little bit, I think everyone seems relatively happy with what's happened in Porter's medicals. I've seen nothing to indicate that anyone is freaked out. Everything seems to be clean from the hips. I still don't know for sure that everyone's gotten everything they need. I don't know that everyone's gotten all the information that they want. I think whatever the information that they've been given has been clean. I think the stuff that the Bulls doctors have done has all come up fine. I don't know that everyone's gotten every little thing that they want. That may not happen at this point, but it really doesn't need to from Porter's perspective because he's already really jumping up so many draft boards, and I think that is legit. Let me roll through this for my thought on the Porter thing, because a lot of you, I've heard from a lot of you, and it's a lot like Luka and some of the other prospects in this draft. There's a real polarizing thought process out there. There's a lot of scared to death. There's a lot of he's going to be a superstar. Here's my thinking on Porter. I don't think there's any doubt that he's got a tremendous amount of talent. You're talking about the guy's size, 6'11". Guy can shoot. Got a very smooth, fluid motion. Guy can get his offense very easily. And I think that will translate no problem. I think he'll get his offense in the NBA without too much difficulty. He's done that at every level that we've seen at. The problem is we haven't really seen him at a whole lot of levels. But that should translate. His size, athleticism, that stuff is all really where you want it to be. But when you look at the other stuff that's involved, when you look at the way he, forget the injury for a second, just the way, from what we've seen on video, the way he carries himself, his posture, something I talked to Cole Zwicker about for a while, from the Stepien, good dude, knows his stuff, covered Porter for a long time up in the Pacific Northwest. He's got a very high waist, very high center of gravity, doesn't get down, doesn't move very fluidly. And as a result, it limits the way he drives. It limits what he can do defensively. Now, if you're telling me that's all because of the back and that he's not the prospect, you know, that what we've seen in the last 2 years is not even reflective of what he's going to be, I don't know that I buy that. That's been some of the word that's around. But all I can go on is what we've seen. All we can go on is actually what's been out there and what we've seen. And what we've seen is a guy that looks very limited on that end. He's also got, you know, pretty, if you're thinking of him as Kevin Durant, his arm span, his wingspan's not real big compared to Durant. So I don't think you're going to have quite the same level of ease in getting that little pull-up off. I don't think you're going to see the same level of ability to protect the rim. If you look at what Durant has done in the last couple of years with Golden State, he's turned into a pretty good 4/5 in terms of protecting the rim. You know, that's a real shocking kind of thing. And I know Porter has said that Durant is the best player in the NBA, not LeBron, which is a finable offense, honest to God. Like, that's as bad as Marvin Bagley in Pumas. You just can't draft guys like that. What the hell are you thinking? That's a basketball IQ red flag, if ever I've seen one. But anyway, Porter, if you're thinking he's going to emulate him, he's got a long way to go because he doesn't have that length. And, you know, who knows whether he's still got the same level of explosiveness, who knows whether he's got the same level of ability to affect the game the way that Durant has. I think he's a long, 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 long way from that. In the best of times, I think he's a long way from that. So if you're drafting him for that, I think you're going to be disappointed. To me, the upside of this guy is Chandler Parsons. Like, you look at the size, you look at the body type, you look at, you know, what he's done. I think they're very similar. Parsons is probably a better passer at this point. I don't think either one is going to be especially great on the defensive end. I mean, I think that's not a bad player at all. I mean, best case scenario, Chandler Parsons, you know, probably a little better scorer, a little worse passer, I think is probably what you would see from Porter. Yeah, that's not a bad player at all. That's a good player. And, you know, that's a pretty good outcome, really, for most of your number four picks in the draft. That's probably an outcome you'd be happy with more years than not. Here's the problem. The problem is the risk you have to take in order to get that guy. The risk you have to take in order to get a guy that isn't, in my mind, a game changer, isn't, in my mind, a superstar in the making. You've got to pass on a lot of guys I think have superstar potential, and you've got to take an enormous risk on this guy's health. And as an organization, the Grizzlies have had such bad luck with that and such a bad run with that, that it seems like a risk that's not worthy of them taking it. It's not a risk that they need to take. And maybe if this was another year, maybe if this was next year when the draft is not going to be quite as good, when you see not nearly the level of talent at the top, maybe if the Grizzlies were a little lower down towards where the Bulls were, you know, maybe if they trade down, this changes the calculus. But as things stand right now at four, given who else is going to be around them, you're guaranteed to get one of Ayton, Jackson, Bagley, Doncic. And if you want to throw Trae Young, you want to throw Mo Bamba in there, you want to throw Wendell Carter in there, guys you think are going to be really, really good. Some people really love Kevin Knox. I know my buddies over at the Outsiders podcast are big Kevin Knox people. I don't share that, but you know, if you throw him in the mix, I mean, there's a lot of similarities, you know, between what he does and what Michael Porter does. This is not the year to be messing around with that. This is not the year to swing and miss. It really is reminiscent of 09 in that regard. If you swing and miss on Porter the way that the Grizzlies swung and missed on Thabeet, look at all the guys they could have had. It's going to be the same kind of thing. Why do it this year? Why do it this year? Now, the other thing about this draft is the Luka push that we've seen, and I'll tell you about that in a second. I mentioned earlier, you know, the whole agent/media push that guys will get, and there's no doubt. Listen, man, I love to stand for Luka as much as the next guy. As much as people hate to stand for Luka, I love to stand for Luka. It's fun for me. But even I recognize when, you know, there's a concerted push and a coordinated effort to get this guy out there front and center. And what we've seen earlier on Monday, late Sunday night, is that very push. You know, he's got one game left to potentially win the ACB title. If he wins tomorrow, they're up 2-1 on Baskonia. If he wins tomorrow night, he's going to be in town for the NBA draft on Thursday. Now, if they don't win, obviously they'll be playing Game 5 that night, so no chance of that. But if he wins and he finishes up tomorrow, he's going to be at the draft. And so this has kind of been the opportunity to get reporters on scene. You saw, you know, Givony doing the SportsCenter thing. You saw Mike Schmitz talking about it. Givony with a really nasty little tweet, real shady tweet about, you know, oh, he's done 29-5 in the ACB final, but I guess since he's not working out against nobody, he's fallen down draft boards for some reason. Little shot at all the workout warriors out there, and a shot at the GMs who are not, you know, going after Doncic. I think we all know there's coordination there. You know, Bill Duffy's not a dummy, and he's done this a lot. These organizations that represent these players are big and smart and multifaceted. They want to get Luka up there, and they it's in their best interest to get Luka as high as they can in the draft. I thought it was interesting to look at his interview or to listen to what he had to say to SportsCenter and to read what he said to Shams. I think he said this to Shams. I don't remember which one, but he said 1-5 is great. So there was no mention of a concern about Memphis as a market or anybody else for that matter. He's happy with 1-5. He's going to come over. There's no doubt about that. So any potential problems there are alleviated. That's nice to know going in. It certainly changes from Ricky Rubio's situation in 09 when he stayed 2 years playing for Barcelona rather than come over immediately for the Timberwolves. And eventually he relented, but it took a while and it sapped a couple of useful years of his development. It was not a good situation all the way around. You won't see that with Luka. He's going to come over. I'm not going to rehash the whole argument about whether Luka's worth it or not, whether he's going to be great, not great. I don't know. I just know this. And I wrote about this in the paper over the weekend. For those of you in Memphis, you could check it out. If you're not in Memphis, go to commercialappeal.com. You can read my piece about the Grizzlies and whether or not they should take a big. I just know this. In this NBA, where we stand right now, based on what the league prioritizes, the kind of games that are played, if you've got a big, that big's got to meet a very specific set of criteria to be able to play the entire game, not to be a bit part player or not to be a guy that's a specialist in certain areas but not others, a guy that's going to be down on the bench in crunch time of big games. You've got to be able to defend multiple positions. You've got to be able to switch. You've got to be able to provide rim protection when you drop, as opposed to the switch, if that's depending on the way that you want to play the pick and roll. You've got to be able to be excellent in that pick and roll. And then on the offensive end, you cannot be a liability. You cannot be a guy that gets left alone. You have to absolutely be able to either kill the mismatches in the post if you're going to get smaller guys switched onto you, or you've got to be able to space the floor and be able to shoot to a large degree. And doing both those things is not something that you see from a lot of these bigs. Potentially, Jaren Jackson, you know, he's the guy that potentially could do both in theory. A lot of guys are good at one, but not necessarily the other. And we've seen what happens when you have overly defensive bigs. They play more than overly offensive bigs, but certainly the scoring bigs don't play. I mean, scoring bigs, I mean, you saw Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs. Now, those guys can be played off the court pretty quickly. Hassan Whiteside didn't get any run whatsoever. A guy that blocks all these shots and can, you know, allegedly put up points and rebounds or whatever, and just didn't even play. So even the defensive guys, DeAndre Jordan took a big hit this year. Andre Drummond is still problematic in those scenarios. Not that the Pistons are necessarily going to be playing any huge games, but you get the idea. In that NBA, and with a series of really good bigs, but certainly there's questions about all of them, there's questions about everybody in the draft. Let's be honest. But why wouldn't you prioritize the position that is the most necessary? It's not going to change anytime soon. The league may eventually slide back towards the bigs, towards more of a big focus. That's probably going to happen. That's inevitable, I guess. Depends on how they call the game and the development. There's lots of good bigs coming into the league, so I'm sure that'll happen. But I don't think it's happening anytime soon. So why not take... Why wouldn't the guy who's 6'8", big enough to guard 1 through 4, guy can handle the ball, can run offense, can shoot off the dribble, can drive, can kick, high basketball IQ, done everything that you can do at that level. Why wouldn't you take that guy? Why wouldn't that guy be higher on your draft board than a big? Really, no matter who the big is, to be honest. It's almost like come draft time, these GMs lose their minds and these front offices lose their minds and forget what actually was happening in the league just a few weeks ago. They forget about what is actually going on. And you think, wow, you've got to get the big guy. It's always, I mean, that's the default for every GM for decades. Best big guy. Best big guy beats best little guy. I don't know if that's the case anymore in the league. So that would bump Trae Young way up my board. It would certainly bump Luka way up my board. That's a strike against all these bigs, and it's a plus for Michael Porter because he's not that guy. So when you have all these things together, and if you get three bigs off the board, if you're the Grizzlies and you're sitting there at 4 and Ayton's off the board and Jackson and Bagley, let's say, are off the board, I mean, that's the easiest pick in the world. That's why I think it's not going to happen. It's too easy. Somebody would move up. I just can't imagine in today's NBA that you're going to let this guy drop to 4. I am not saying he's going to be a superstar. I don't know. All that depends on him, just like any of these guys. It all depends on those guys. It depends on their personality. It depends on how hard they work. It depends on, you know, what they do. I just know this. This guy's been hyped since he was 13 years old. And he's lived up to the hype everywhere he's gone. And now he's hyped here, and there's no reason to expect that he wouldn't live up to the hype here. The adjustment will be big, I would imagine. Maybe a little up and down, who knows? It's not easy for any 19-year-old to adjust, move into a different continent and all that stuff. But, listen, given what we know about the league, wouldn't you rather take that chance than the one on Porter? If you're going to go with a non-big, wouldn't you rather take that chance on Luka than the one on Porter? The upside on Luka is pretty big. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's a multiple-time All-Star. It's a guy that's got great potential to be extremely switchable, to do whatever you want in all different kinds of looks, different offenses, defensively. You could do different things with him because he's defended, you know, 1 through 4 for Real Madrid. Why not go for that guy? So if it comes down to that, it would be, I just can't believe that three teams would pass on him in this league right now, knowing what we know about the league. I still don't believe three teams are going to pass on him. And I still would be like, you could not, I don't know what I could do. I don't know what I would do if the Grizzlies took Porter or anyone else over him at 4 if everyone's available. I don't know what my reaction would be. That would be, to me, a shocking disregard for just plain logic. He's the most ready to perform now. It's the easiest pick on the board. It's the position you need most in the NBA, and he's really good at it, and he's really young. I don't know what else to tell you. Don't overcomplicate this. Now, that said, a lot can change. Trades, rumors, etc. over the next 72 hours or so. Obviously, we'll be talking all about it this week. So I want you to make sure you keep it locked right here. Not just on Locked On Grizzlies, but the Locked On Podcast Network. The entire network is going to be fantastic. If you missed the mock draft where I took Trae Young at 4 for some of the reasons that I just talked about, you can go check that out. That is available. We're going through the entire mock draft with all the Locked On hosts, with Jeremy Wu from SI responding to all of those picks. We'll be talking a lot more as the week goes on with other folks about the draft and about what the Grizzlies are going to do, not just here, but throughout the entire network. So please make sure you stick with Locked On Grizzlies and the whole Locked On Podcast Network throughout the week. Thank you guys. As always, get in touch with me. I am pedmiston@gmail.com. If you want to email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Twitter @PeterEdmiston. Hope you enjoy the outdoor edition of the pod. First time I've ever done that, but it's a nice day. Yeah, I felt like getting out and enjoying and kind of thinking about it. It made me think when I was outside looking at the beautiful nature, and hopefully some of these natural sounds can inspire you as well. Thanks so much. We'll talk again here on Locked On Grizzlies.